Thank you, Jed, for coming over. I do know that you and Shanna are good friends. Well, you have met on the internet, is that correct?
Yeah,
Cool.
absolutely.
Yeah, and you've had episode on his channel. So I'm excited for this one. It's quite for almost a music podcast, it's quite different. We wanna have like a conversation on different domains, topics like music and how it ties up with, purpose, vision, spirituality. So that's kind of what we're going for here, and we're glad to have Jed, who is not just a singer, songwriter, producer, and filmmaker and host too, but also doing such great work with Good Loud Media and all other things. So I'm just gonna allow Jed to introduce himself. Welcome to the show, Jed, and thanks for agreeing to come with us and to have this room with us.
I am delighted to be here. I'm honored to be a part of it. And as best I understand it, the Almost a Music podcast is in many ways about the intersection of music and faith, and those are two of my favorite topics. So I'm just thrilled to be a part of it.
Yeah, hi Jed. So, tell me, how is the weather in Chicago these days? How is Illinois? How's the weather? Is it cold?
It's pretty cold. It's pretty cold. So, right now, like as we're talking, I think it's about 32 degrees Fahrenheit, which is about 0 Celsius. But that's a lot warmer than it's been. So we're slowly moving in the direction of spring. We're not there yet, but we're slowly moving in that direction. So the big question in Chicago with the weather is always, is it painful to be outside? And right now the answer is no. So we're doing great.
Right. So when we met actually, Meg and me, we met in this platform in Clubhouse, and then we actually found out that we have actually attended the same concerts, but we never met physically. I mean, we met one time now after that, but we actually been to the same shows and loving the same sort of kind of bands and music. And that's the reason we actually started this podcast, and both of us are quite interested about music and as well as spirituality. So that's the reason that this podcast came to be. So Meg, can we start by just maybe explaining a little bit about the title of the room and what you wanted to talk about in this room?
Yeah, sure. Just like what Chana said, just being kind of in the same concerts and liking the same different bands, and I could sort of think of how the bands that we sort of like would always have this certain aura or like different kind of vision apart from just being musicians. Like we are quite in the likings of those who would kind of go beyond just the music, but also the stories behind their music, which we'd be very much interested in just diving into. And one of the things that I like about Chana doing the show with Chana is his understanding on the different intersections that we want to explore. So, for example, how it impacts our lives, like not just in, being fans, but how it inspires us to become, I don't know, more of ourselves, and including that in the daily things that we do. So I just love how music just kind of grounds you and sort of intersects with your mission. So I would love to really explore how that ties up with Jed's work. I know he's huge on violence prevention and mental health awareness, and how that ties up with the purpose showing up in his work. So I'm curious, like, was music really something that Jed imagined himself to be in, or did it reveal itself when you would interact with these different folks that are, that have special needs? I'm curious how that will go, and also yeah, just the journey of finding your purpose through your work. I know it's such a wide array of things, like being in music, being on the side of producing, but also being on the other side, like being an artist. So I'm curious how the journey was thus far, and are there any like turning points for Jed? So yeah, I want to discuss that here.
Well, Meg, those were wonderful questions. And what I would say in terms of how did I, you know, get to doing the kind of things that I do today, there were really, I think, kind of two key turning points for me. So one turning point was when I was in high school. I just happened to have a bunch of friends who were into music, but who played in bands. And I remember seeing some of my older friends who were playing in bands and just thinking, wow, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen. That's the coolest thing I've ever heard of. And so I don't know that I, you know, had much, you know, talent or anything, but I was super motivated. I was really excited about it. And, you know, one way or another, I, you know, found ways to get to be a part of different bands, and I just loved doing it. It just, you know, it felt like, you know, just that feeling of a bell going off inside of yourself, in the sense of like, you know, this is what I should be doing. And so, yeah, I did a lot of that and had a lot of fun with it. The second thing that was kind of a big turning point for me was really, really random. So when I finished college, I was working at the time for a little tech startup company. And this is back before the iPhone existed. And so in kind of the earliest proto days of smartphones. And what this company did while I worked there was they wanted to basically put smartphones in the hands of young people in urban areas who had chronic illnesses. And so an example of that would be asthma, which is a condition that affects your ability to breathe. And the idea was, we're going to send these young people, these teenagers, tracks of music that they can listen to, but we're also going to send them messages about how to manage their health. And those messages will play between tracks of music. And they needed somebody to produce all of those audio messages. And so that fell to me because I worked there. And so I ended up producing, I don't know, you know, 75 or so little 20-second, 30-second messages about how to deal with asthma. And we were working with some doctors and we did all this. And at the end of the day, we were able to kind of measure some results and see that we had helped these young people be healthier. We'd help them better manage their condition and have better health and better outcomes. And so it was this really huge moment for me of realizing that music and messaging, if they're combined in the right way, can measurably improve people's lives. They can measurably help people have a better life and a better experience of life. And so in many ways, I've been kind of working from that point of view ever since, that music and messaging together really can make the world a better place.
Yeah. When I was, you know, when this whole pandemic thing happened, prior to that, I was just a fan of music, right? I mean, I was like a crazy fan of music, and I just enjoyed and just consumed it. And then once that pandemic, you know, started, and then everything just closed down, and we couldn't go to shows anymore. You know, I actually thought of, you know, talking about it with friends, and that's how actually my own podcast, which is the China 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 podcast, started.
Okay.
But quickly what I found out is while I was start talking to different artists, especially up and coming artists, I found a purpose on that, because I saw that I'm giving a lot of these new artists some sort of a platform to share that story. And I never thought, especially when I was like just going to the shows and enjoying, I never thought that I would find such a purpose, like later in especially in that sort of circumstances. So Jeff, how did, because I know you do a lot of stuff, you work with prisoners, you do stuff for the prisoners, you do a lot of stuff for the youth, especially the youth from this region. You work with a lot of young musicians. At what point did that you sort of got that idea that about your purpose?
That's a great question. So in terms of kind of when did I start working with different groups, it's been a journey. It definitely has not been an all at once thing. So in terms of working with men and women who are either in prison currently or are returning citizens, meaning that they are have been released from prison and are building new lives for themselves. For me, at this point, that was about 20 years ago, actually. I got involved as a volunteer with an organization in Chicago that does that kind of work. And they both were and are great people, and they were willing to let me hang out and play some songs as a part of that. And the more that I got involved just as a volunteer, the more that I got to know people who were behind bars, who had recently been incarcerated. And as my new friends shared their stories with me, I wanted to be able to create music that would be meaningful for them. I think it's worth noting that I think music is at its best when people feel like this music is for me. It's not just that this is music that exists in the world, but this music is for me, right? And I think, like, one of the cool things about heavy metal is I think it's a genre where people who listen to heavy metal, they feel that way about it. You know, this is my music. This is for me. And I wanted to make music that my friends who had these tough experiences in their lives that they could feel that way about. And so I remember writing a song and playing it, at a program for folks who were incarcerated, and a friend of mine heard me sing it, and he came up to me afterwards and he said, "That's my song. That song you sang, that's my song. That's me." Wow. And that's the coolest thing anyone has ever said about any song that I've written. And then one of the things that has become a growing, I think conviction is the right word on my part over the last several years is, we live in a world that has a lot of challenges and a lot of difficulties, and there's no way to avoid that, and there's no point in trying to sugarcoat it. You know, we live in a world with a lot of troubles, and I really believe that one of the paths that allows us, that will allow us and has allowed us to move towards a better world is empathy. And I think in order to be empathetic, we need to have a sense of where people who have not had our same life experience, what their life is like, where they are coming from, what their story is. I think that I'm a firm believer that we create a better world by learning to love our neighbor. But it's hard to love your neighbor when you don't know them. And it's hard to love your neighbor when you don't know their story. And it's hard to love your neighbor when you don't know what their experience of life has been. And so in music, for a lot of time, so much of music, even globally, has been dominated by artists from the United States. And there's plenty of talented musicians in the United States, but there are incredibly talented musicians all over the world. And a few years ago, through honestly kind of just some random metal-themed groups on websites like Facebook, I began to meet and get to listen to and hear music from just some really incredibly talented folks and kind of all over the place. But an example, and I am blessed to count him both today as a friend and a brother, is Sri Lanka's Ashen Sandaru. And he's the lead singer of Silence of Loud, which is this amazing metal band from Sri Lanka. And he also has solo material that is wonderful. And I remember hearing, just kind of some demo material online that Ashen had sang. And I remember hearing, man, this guy, he can really sing. What a voice. And so you know, I reached out to him and we just started talking and got to know each other. And I had some projects where I needed a vocalist. And so I asked Ashley, I don't know if you'd have any interest or not, but I, you know, you're a great singer and I've got a track that needs a singer. If you think you'd like to do it. And, you know, he was very kind to share his time and his talents with me. And, kind of that's how I got started with working with artists that are located elsewhere in the world. And I have to tell you, I have been so blessed by that experience. I have been so fortunate to meet just wonderful people, including folks like you, Channa, and you, Meg, and find kindred spirits all over the world. And it's really been a cool experience.
Thanks, Jed. I just have to like let that seep in because it's such a huge unfolding of what you have experienced thus far. And I just love how you sort of have been decentralizing music in a way, like just stripping away from the right from like the usual artists in America that's, you know, ripping the charts, but also shedding more opportunities and just light on folks maybe more in the like ASEAN network, the Asian network. And I love what you said of just being inspired by them. Of course, I bet it's like a two-way thing on how you both are inspiring each other in this work. And just you sharing about your different immersions on the different communities that you have sort of served in a way and have made known of, I do feel like that really shaped the way you made music. And has that like ever come across to your mind of building, you know, being with Good Loud Media? Has your work with the different, let's say, outcasts or prisoners with the different youth communities like impacted the way you would show up in Good Loud and all your different engagements once you've already started or when you have started your work with the youth? Or have you explored like other, you know, other aspects of music too? Or was it like a concentration more of, you know, getting to know them and having more immersions with them?
You know, that's a great question. Let me give you an answer and you tell me if it answers the question well. Does that work for you?
Sure.
Okay. So I, this is several years ago now, but my wife and I decided that we wanted to try salsa dancing. And I don't mind telling you, I may be the worst dancer in the world. If I'm not the worst, I'm certainly like in the running for it. But one of the things that was cool about learning a little bit about salsa dancing is I gained a new appreciation for just the genre of music because I realized there's a purpose. There's not just that it's fun music to listen to, although it certainly is, but this is music to dance to. This is music to go out and meet people or be with your partner or whatever, but to dance and to have a good time. That's what this music is here to do. And it got me thinking that I think music is generally at its best when it has a purpose. It doesn't have to be something, you know, super high-minded, but when there's a point to it, you know, so like if you think about Rage Against the Machine as an example, and, you know, an amazing, amazing band, right? Their music, I don't want to put words in the mouth of Zach De La Rocha, but I think it's probably fair to say that their music, the purpose is to encourage especially young people to think. Don't take things at face value, you know, think about the world and your place in it. And I think there's all kinds of music that can do amazing things when it has a sense of purpose to it. And so for me with Good Loud Media, we, in essence, you know, we're a record label, but what we make is music with a purpose. What the purpose is varies a little bit from project to project. On some songs or projects, the purpose is just, I want you as the listener to know you're not alone. you have a situation you're dealing with, there's a feeling that you have, and maybe it's hard, but I just want you to know that you're not alone. Other projects, maybe there's a step that we're hoping that you'll take. Maybe you're going through something where it's time and you need to find somebody to talk to about that. And so the purpose of this project is to encourage you to be bold and courageous and to go talk to somebody. But I think that what has really kind of brought together my experience with various underserved communities and what I do today with Good Loud Media is that recognition that music is at its best, even artistically, when it has a purpose to it, when it has a point to it. And that if you present the right song with the right purpose to the right person at the right time, it can absolutely change their life.
Yeah. Jeff, so Jed, what I noticed with the projects that you do with Good Loud Media, you tend to balance that purpose and the message with the right level of creativity. You don't let the message take over, because I see sometimes people do music and they want to say this message and they fall back on the actual music, right? Actual creativity. Yeah. So you kind of find that real balance, and especially I've listened to your show, The Bridge. I yes. sometimes join on the Facebook Live, and although it's sort of a spiritual, faith-related show, but it doesn't take over. I can just join and just enjoy the music as well. So how do you find that balance?
You know, I really appreciate you saying that, Shanna. That's super kind of you. I think that, to me, I think that that balance is found by recognizing that I want to invite listeners, I want to invite a person who is in the audience to have a conversation with me. I've been very fortunate to get to be a part of radio for a number of years now, and one of my mentors in the radio world who did it long before I did, when I first got to start doing stuff on air, his comment to me was, radio is a conversation. It is a conversation between the on-air staff and the listener who's, you know, in their car or on the train or wherever they are. And I think that radio is a conversation, but I think music is too. I think music is a conversation. And so I think that when we have moments where we don't really want to have a back and forth, I just want to tell you what to think, and now you have to think that way. I think that it's not a conversation at that point, and I think that it damages the music. I think it damages the artistry. But I think that the more that we can invite people into, you know, whether it's a song or a radio show or a podcast, the more that we can invite people into a moment of back and forth, of interchange, of conversation, where they get to decide what they want to do with this information. They get to decide if this is meaningful for them. They get to decide if this is relevant to their life. You know, if they want to just hang back and just, you know, enjoy a, you know, a nice beat and a nice melody, that's great. If they want to dig deeper and think about what it means for them, that's great too. But I think that that paradigm of letting it be a conversation, I think that's really important.
Thanks, Jed. I do understand what you meant with it being a conversation. Like, for example, I would think sometimes that I put artists on a pedestal. Like, I see them as, oh, such great idols. And, like, kind of losing that sense of they're human beings, too. Like, these artists are human beings. They share, you know, stories. They have their own stories. They have their own families. And sometimes, like, when you look at it that way, It sort of puts a divide between you and that artist. But I love what you said of just having that space for a conversation. Like, it's an open, like, buffet of, if you want to take this to the next, sort of level of conversation, then feel what resonates with you. But if you just wanna, hang in there and just listen to this music just so because you enjoy listening to it, that's okay too. I love how you are sort of trying to exude this sense of sovereignty of how people can choose with what they want to do with music, and that's so beautiful.
Thank you. I really appreciate that, Meg. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and just speaking about your radio show, you guys mentioned about it being sort of an intersection of music and faith. Has it ever like came to your mind of finding divinity in music? Although you did touch on this really briefly, but I'm curious, I wanna know like what's your take on maybe finding divinity in music and in the intersections that you would dive into?
That's a profound question. I would say that the short answer is, can music help us connect with the divine? The short answer to that is yes, I absolutely believe that. And I think that here's something that I love. So there's a program, it's in many countries now, but it started in the United States, and it's a program called Alcoholics Anonymous. And the point of it is simply to help people who do not want to continue drinking to have a process that they can work to help them make that change. But one of the things that they talk about in AA and other similar programs, they use a phrase, and that phrase is the God of our understanding. And what they mean is that for all the religions that exist in the world, it is unavoidable that for a person, for any person who believes in some form of God, some form of divinity, they have a conception of God that is unique to them. They have an understanding of the divine that is unique to them. It's not exactly the same as anybody else's anywhere else in the world. And I think that music gives us a space to explore the divine, but to explore it in a way that is unique to us. I certainly know plenty of people who find creeds and articulated statements of belief to be helpful in their spiritual journey. And if it's helpful for you or for anyone who's listening, that's wonderful. But I think it's also good to have a space where we're able to connect with the divine that is a bit more open. To put it in different terms, I am a person of faith, and I believe deeply in God and deeply in the divine. And I also believe that God is so much bigger than we give God credit for. I think that when we come to matters of faith, so often we want to put the divine in a box. We want to put God in a tiny little Tupperware container so that we can control it. And I think that music gives us a place in a weird way where there are not the same boundaries. We can experience God with fewer walls and with fewer gatekeepers and with fewer people telling us how it has to be. This is a little bit of a journey, but I think it will be worth it. So my faith tradition is Christianity, and the story that we tell about the creation of the world is that life began in a garden, and that in the garden, before anything had gone wrong in the world, that God and man would walk together in the cool of the day at the end of the day. And to me, I think that music creates a space where each of us individually can do that, where each of us can abide with whatever higher power we believe in or are able to believe in, but a space kind of like a garden where it's not about rules and it's not about regulations. It's simply about being present, and being present with that other presence. I think music allows us to do that in a way that nothing else can.
Jed, you touch on something that I always thinking about, especially during the last 2 years, when this whole pandemic thing happened, we kind of realized, we got to know the true nature of some people.
Sure.
Especially with the politicians and businesses and even our family members and friends, because we, before that, we were just doing sort of a rat race, and we were just, mm-hmm. you know, keep on doing whatever we are doing, just running through it. And then when everything stopped, and then I saw a lot of negativity, actually, a lot of negativity, especially in the media and social media, and all the conversations of, you know, people try to divide based on whatever vaccine or whatever the reason they can find, they will try to divide, you know, find a way to, rather than trying to find ways how we can connect, they will always try to find a reason why we should disconnect from each other, right?
Yes, well said.
And then one thing is that I think what was lacking is actually having a conversation. And I think these platforms like Clubhouse has really helped for people to really have a conversation and try to understand the perspective of the other party. I think you mentioned this early in our discussion that you cannot love your neighbor if you don't know about the neighbor, right? So you need to have that empathy. So in this day and age, how important is the conversation for you, Jed? And how, I mean, I know that when you are actually working with a musician, maybe from Malaysia or somewhere else where the culture might be different, their belief systems might be different. So how is the conversation happening, and how important is that for you?
That's a great question. Let me make sure that I'm fully tracking. So I believe that you are asking, how do I approach truly getting to know another person when we are separated by geography, by culture, by worldview? How do we have a conversation where we're able to find something that we can agree about so we can work together? Do I have that about right?
That's right.
You know, I think that's a great question. And I think that there's not one answer to it. I think that there are some things that help to make that possible. I think one thing is recognizing that with anyone, just as I was suggesting, and this is my view, but, you know, I don't think that any two people who believe in a higher power believe in exactly the same way. I think that that is unique to each individual. I don't think that there are any two people anywhere in this world who have the exact same view of the world. I don't think that there are two people anywhere in this world who agree about everything. I think that we have some difference in view with every person that we're ever going to meet, with no exceptions. And I think one of the things that the kind of deep tribalism that we see on Facebook and elsewhere online, one of the lies that is an underpinning of that is the idea of, if you're on my team, if you're on my tribe, then we see everything the same way. When that's not possible, there's absolutely no way for that to be true. So I think it's important to start from a place of saying that in order to connect with any other human being, unless we're going to live a life of extreme isolation, we're going to have to make peace with the fact that we are in relationship with people who see the world differently than we do, at least a little bit. Maybe it's in big ways, maybe it's in small ways, but it's not identical. So I think that's thing one. And does that make sense so far? Does that track?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then I think thing two is recognizing, though there are areas where we inevitably will disagree, surely there must be areas too where we can find a sense of common purpose. I've heard it said that one of the best forms of unity that can exist in the world is unity of purpose. And I think that when we can let's use an example like hunger. You know, I mean, one of the things that has been a feature of my work for a long time is I have seasons where I'm a part of programs that serve younger children, and you know, in the toughest neighborhoods of Chicago, many of those children do not get enough to eat, and they, you know, they are going to bed hungry every single night. And if I can find people who also believe that no child should ever go hungry, then we can have unity on that point. And if we have unity on that point, then we can work together. We can find a way. We are already, you know, morally in that sense, pointed in the same direction. And so we can build from that. We can build a relationship from there. And so I think that I would say discord and disagreement and disunity will always present themselves. But I think if we want unity, we have to look for it. We have to intentionally seek out those areas of overlap and build upon them. And it's been my experience that if you're looking for those, you will find them. If you're looking for areas of overlap with other people, you will find them, and there will be ways to build that relationship.
Yes, such beautiful words, Jed. Actually,
thank you.
Same way, if you go into a conversation with the mind of "I'm going to find something wrong," then you will find that as well, right? So.
Oh yeah, totally, definitely.
Right. I would like to just take the conversation to a different thing. I believe I actually asked you this question, and this is one of the reasons that I really got impressed about you, Jed. That is that although you kind of come from a spiritual sort of music, and you know you work on that a lot, but you've been open to so many different styles of music. Like, I know that you work with like bands like death metal bands, maybe hip hop artists, EDM artists, rock artists, heavy metal artists, and how is that possible? Like, how do you keep an open mind to all these different genres and ways of creating music?
Well, that's a good question. So, this is a while back. There was an exhibit here in Chicago of the really amazing Mexican artist Frida Kahlo. For anyone who's listening to this show right now, if you don't know Frida Kahlo yet, you should Google her, Frida, F-R-I-D-A, Kahlo, K-A-H-L-O. Really amazing stuff. And my wife and I are at an exhibit, and we're looking at, you know, a bunch of her pieces, and they're just blowing my mind. But what was interesting is that she was, from a technical standpoint, she was a perfectly talented artist. She was a perfectly talented painter. She knew how to use a brush. She knew how to use paint. She knew how to do that. But that the two things that really made her the amazing, amazing artist that she was one, she had something unique to say. She had a view of the world and her place in it that was unique to her, that other people didn't have. And the second was, she was very bold about expressing that view. She had an artistic vision, and she put it out there. She had the technical ability to make that work, where, you know, it is painted well enough that people can get what's going on. But that technical quality is by far and away the least important thing. What makes Frida Kahlo Frida Kahlo is a vision, a unique and bold vision, and then the courage to put it out there and let people think what they think. And so when I look at music and when I look at artists, the thing to me that is most impressive is not, can this guy play a million notes on his guitar? I mean, that's cool if you can. I think it's really great. I, as someone who cannot play a million notes on the guitar, I wish that I could, and I certainly have admiration for it. But the thing that I'm looking for, the thing that's impressive to me, is someone who has an observation about life, someone who has an observation about what it means to be human, someone who has an observation about what it means to exist on this planet that is unique to them. They have a point of view, and they're willing to say it. They're willing to boldly and courageously express what it is that they have to say. And I think that each of those styles of music that you mentioned offer a platform for different points of view. And all this ultimately ties back to that idea of empathy and of loving our neighbor. But right, so like to me, you mentioned death metal. I think that death metal, in many ways, is a style of music that allows us to express a sense of rage and a sense of despair. And if you've been on planet Earth for more than about 5 minutes, you have definitely experienced both of those things. I think that hip hop, in many ways, is a style of music that lets us talk about the person that we wish we were. That lets us speak to our aspirational self, the self that we want to be. And we all need that. We all need a space where it's safe for us to dream about the person that we want to become. And so to me, I think I'm looking for people who, in a sense, have a story to tell, and the music has, empowered them and enabled them to do that in a way that is resonant with the style. And then the rest of it is just kind of moving dials and knobs. And I've done a lot of that for a lot of years, so I know how to do it. But just like with Frida Kahlo, the acumen at painting is in service of this vision that she's trying to express.
Thanks, Jed. Oh, I really
Yeah.
think, there's so much to be said about the self-expression piece and how, like, each kind of music, each kind of song is an expression of oneself, like one's viewpoints and one's, dreams and aspirations, or even like visions, right? So I feel like, in a way, it's sort of the artist giving their own selves permission to be seen. Like permission to evolve, and being in that expression sort of give others too maybe that permission to be in their expression of their own work. I was searching through Frida Kahlo's quotes, and just really quickly, I wanna share it here. And she says, "I don't paint the dreams or nightmares. I paint my own reality." And that speaks so many levels on, like, authenticity and how each of us, like, show up differently. We do have we could have shared vision, but that being united in that vision could show up differently the way I see it, the way Chana sees it, the way Jed does his work, right? So just finding that common shared vision that we can have, different pathways, we can have different means to express that vision, but having that shared light or shared, like, unity, really, that's what ties us up to each other, and that's what counts even much more now with everything happening in the world, right?
Absolutely. Well said, my friend. Absolutely.
Wow. I feel like this is such a timely conversation too, right? On what's happening in the world and how, even if we kind of feel like, gosh, like, how do we even help these folks, like, help our brothers and sisters? But also, it makes me think of just being in expression and being honest with ourselves and the work that we want to do, what we want to step into. That counts. Like, that counts. Like, we don't even have to, like, go the lens of doing this for them, but we could do that. But also, just being an expression of ourselves, like, that changes us to maybe echo that to other people and give other people permission to, kind of do the same thing, not the same thing, but step more into themselves and their expression.
I think that's excellently said. I couldn't agree more.
Jed, I want to ask you. I don't know if you thought about it. So all these different projects, different music videos and songs, and all these different albums that you have worked with. What do you think is the signature of Jed Brewer?
Good question, Jana.
Musically or otherwise?
Maybe both ways, musically, or is there another way? That
what is the signature of Jed Brewer? Well, the thing that the thing that I would like to be true about the artists that I work with, and I certainly want it to be reflected in the music that we create together, but I want, if I'm working with an artist, I want them to, in their heart of hearts, to know that I believe in them. I want them to know that they have someone who, on some level, gets what they're trying to do with their art and thinks that it's worth doing. There's so much unkindness in this world, and especially in the music world. And there are, you know, there's a formula, right? You know, and the formula, of course, starts by being born in a wealthy place with a wealthy family, and then hopefully being very naturally good looking, and then having access to, you know, people in the music industry. And that if you have all of those things, then maybe you get to be an artist. And if you don't have those things, then you probably don't. And probably your art is stupid anyway. So, you know, that's how it goes. That, unfortunately, so often is the message of the music world and of the entertainment world. And I think the signature that I want to have is of recognizing the talent that other people possess that the world is gonna love if they will take 3 minutes to listen to it. I would like my signature to be the person who liked it before it was cool, if that makes any sense. But like, you know, the artists that I get to work with, I'm floored that I get to work with them. Like, I feel so blessed. I feel so privileged to get to do that, because, like, I think, you know, these folks, whether it's a guy or a girl or what, or whoever, the artists that I'm working with, I think they are so dang good and talented. And I am just excited that other people are going to get a chance to hear what I get to hear. And that I don't know if that's exactly a signature, but that's what comes to mind when you ask that question.
Yeah, I believe that's a great signature. And I think what I also notice is that though you might be the producer of that, but you know, we see Jed, I think you've seen that, like, you know, in the rap videos, like the producer is part of the song and, you know, he's part of the music video and, you know,
sure.
You know, he takes over. But I mean, I don't see that in you. That's what I'm saying. So the artist, it's like, even if it is one of your songs, but it becomes their song once it's out, right? Mm. Like what you did with Pee Wee, the whole Earth song, right? So
it's, oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, so it became her song once it's out. So, Jed, can you tell us also a little bit about what are you working on right now? Is there anything coming out?
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. So a couple of things that will be out very, very soon. So one is a kind of a metal track, and it's a track talking about grief. It's about what do we do when we lose somebody that we love and that we care about, and how do we approach grieving in a way that's healthy? How do we approach grieving in a way that helps us ultimately land at a place of acceptance? And so That is a collaboration with a dear friend of mine who is a social worker, who is a therapist who works with young people that are going through rough times. So that'll be out in the next couple weeks. The track is called The Reaper is a Liar. And so that's going to be super, super fun. And then actually a track that is technically out and it's currently on rock radio in South Florida is the artist name is Parker Shogren. And the song name is Death Sentence, and it's kind of a metalcore track, but it has to do with the way sometimes we can feel regret over decisions we've made in our lives, and we can feel like, I'm just going to be living with the results of this forever. It's just never going to stop. But you know, encouraging people to think about whether or not they are actually under a death sentence in their lives.
Wow, Jed, I'm looking forward to that, and thanks for sharing. I just really quickly, I'm curious, like, where do you see the music industry, especially right now? I feel like it's in the middle of such a great change on, you know, different platforms are coming out, both online and, you know, I'm not sure, like, what kind of live experience right now is going to, like, brew up, but I do feel like there will be so many changes. So how do you see the music industry thus far? I mean, after, you know, 2 years of this, yeah, I feel like it's an exciting time though.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's an interesting time in the music industry in that for the vast majority of artists, there is not one path that will get you to success. And in fact, I think that it's a time where it's important for artists to think carefully about what success means to them, right? Because I think if you asked most people who, you know, play in a band or something, you know, like, what does success mean? The first thing that comes to mind is basically, I want to be Taylor Swift. I want to be, you know, known by everybody in the entire world, and I want to make, you know, all the money and, you know, so on and so forth. And I'm not knocking that. Taylor's a very talented person and, you know, a lot of great music. But statistically, the odds of that happening are very, very low for anybody. And so to be clear, if you're a band and you're listening to this right now, I hope it happens for you. I hope that you get to do that. But for the rest of us, given that particular kind of success is pretty unlikely, I think that it's an interesting time where artists can decide what success means for them. So if that's, I just want to make recordings and know that somebody listens to them, they can do that. If it's, I want to find a way to play some kind of live shows and have people show up, they can do that. But I think it is an exciting time. And I think part of what is exciting about it is that people, artists, creative types can... they can chart a course for themselves. There's enough technology in the world and enough networking opportunities in the world that you can probably do some version of the thing that you really want to do. You may not get rich and famous doing it. And again, I hope that you do. But the thing itself, the making of the music and the sharing of the music, you can almost certainly find a way to do. And that's a cool time to be alive when you probably have the ability to make your art and share it with others.
Right. Jed, I think we've been hearing these days, we hear this word, right? Multiverse, metaverse, a lot of these universes stuff, right? What I realized that, especially in my podcast, I interviewed you and a lot of these people who's connected and who you work with. So I see that there's some sort of a Jedverse out there that you keep on adding these people to this Jedverse, and I'm happy to be part of it as well, in a way.
I'm honored that you are a part of it.
What do you think about the Jedverse?
Well, I am honored by the name, and I will fully steal that. moving forward, it is the Jedverse, so I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Thanks, Jed. And just really to close this out, maybe if you'd like to share what are some of the practices that you do to support you in this work, like whatever you'd like to share.
And is that like self-care, like spiritual
Yeah.
practices, all of the above?
Any. Yep, all of the above.
Well, I'm a work in progress, the same as anybody, and I certainly do not have everything all figured out. But I can share some things that work for me. One thing that helps me a lot that I want to encourage others to think deeply about is the idea of, and this is not a phrase that's original to me, but the idea of being slow to speak. I think that so many of the problems in our interpersonal lives, so many of the problems that we see online, someone says something jerky, and then I feel like I need to respond to that, and I need to respond to it immediately. And that very rarely goes well. Maybe if you're much smarter than I am, you can do that and pull it off, but that it hardly ever works out for me. And so I think that a lot of the practices that are really helpful to me right now kind of boil down to being intentionally patient, being intentionally slow to speak, being intentionally not in a hurry. I think that we live in a world that wants us to be in a hurry all the time, that wants us to have an opinion about everything all the time, that wants us to respond to the latest outrage all the time. And I think for all of us, giving ourselves permission to go slow, to think and ponder and consider and meditate, before we make decisions and before we speak and make statements, it's certainly helpful to me. And I would encourage others to keep whatever parts of that are useful for them.
Yeah, also I feel that also the able to just let people work on or prioritize what they want to do instead of pushing them too much. And even us personally, just I really love that what you said. I also have this sort of a funny thing where what I do is if I can do it tomorrow, then just do it tomorrow, don't do it today.
Sure,
Something
absolutely.
like that, where yeah, don't put too much pressure on you. Do what is important and do what is more impactful than just waste time on just all this stuff, like out getting pissed off with about stuff that's on the internet and all this. Just ignore them and just do what you like to do and just what makes an impact to you. So Jed, thanks for joining this, and really, we are happy that we had a sort of a different type of conversation here to the ones that we normally have. If people wants to get connected with you, especially if there are aspiring artists who want to get connected with you, what's the best way to connect with you? And just tell everybody how they can connect with you.
Absolutely. Easiest way to do it is to go to goodloudmedia.org. That's goodloudmedia.org. And there's an email address there. If you're an artist, if you're making music or videos or something that you're proud of, share it with me. I want to check it out. And I'd love to hear from you. And guys, thank you so much for having me. It's been such a privilege to be a part of the show today.
Oh man, Jed, thank you so much for gracing your presence and carving out time on your weekend to be with us. It's such a pleasure hanging out with you, and we hope to just engage in conversation even outside of this, episode and podcast. So thank you so much.
Absolutely, my pleasure, guys. I hope to get to be a part of it again sometime soon.
Yeah, thanks again, Jed. So, Meg, do you want to close the room?
Yeah, sure. So this is our first episode actually for the year, episode 8. We will be having a lineup of a bunch more of different conversations this year. So you can find our page on Instagram at Omuzo Music Podcast, and we have our own personal accounts there if you'd like to reach out to us. So we are excited for this year, and we hope you love this episode. Thank you, Chana, and thank you, Jed. Have a good day, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
And now.